amen to that, right?
Amen a eso, ¿verdad?
You know, the Lord has blessed us so many ways.
El Señor nos bendice de tantas maneras.
With this end time message.
En este mensaje del tiempo final.
Because he's told us.
Él nos dijo.
What is the real us, you know?
¿Quién es el verdadero nosotros?
I think one of the most amazing things is helping us identify our human spirit, you know.
Nuestro espíritu humano, ¿sabe?
Not from him, but permitted by him.
No, por él, pero permitido por él.
So the real us is that eternal part that's part of him, right?
El verdadero nosotros es esa parte de él, el verdadero nosotros, ¿verdad?
So the real you has always and can do nothing but say amen to the word of God. So there it is. We say yes, Lord, because that's who we are. Blessed be his name, right? Would you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, so blessed to be here in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Eyes to see you and your manifestation in this day. Ears to hear your word. Thank you for fulfilling your word in days of human thought and confusion. Came on the scene to vindicate that. No, this is my voice. This is what I really think. These are the words that I say. And how much assurance that brings to our souls, Lord. Helping us, sorting out. And we hear in your word, Hebrews 10. You have perfected forever them that are constantly being sanctified. So your word comes. The revelation comes. We discard the error and bring in the truth. And sanctification takes place further. Continuous. Not only that, but with all of these things, you're changing us because your word is transforming power. So now we see, Lord, from glory to glory, you're changing us into your likeness, into your image. And here's the whole rapture process taking place, and we're part of that. How can we praise you enough? Now this morning we ask for your preeminence. Truly, not just saying that, Lord. We all mean it with all of our hearts. You be king over my heart, their hearts. You reign over all of our beings, our human spirits. Truly, we become your prisoners. And you take your place as king over us, Lord. We come to meet with you under the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we ask these things in his precious name, matchless name, name above all names, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. God bless you all. Wow, look who we got here, Nestor. Isn't that so nice to see him again? And Oliver's 5 and Luna's 3, right? And that's your niece. So nice to have you. Everybody, nice to see you all. God bless you. All right, it's been on my heart. Philip, would you get that little 7-minute clip ready? So many times we've been making comments that God's helping us.
Dios está ayudándonos.
And we're starting to really believe what he says about us instead of what we think about us. And in so doing, when he tells us these wonderful things, oh my, do you know what he's doing, don't you? It's rapture ready. So when you believe what he says about you, over what you think about you, then pretty soon, what can the devil hold over you?
Right?
So he's taking the devil's ammo away from him when you believe the word of God, right?
So,
you know, there's so many of these wonderful things we've been reading. You know, how many times we've read in the Easter still message, you know, we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He is him. We're getting our identity straightened out. Here's this one. He says the church will come through justification through Luther, sanctification through
Wesley,
through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right on into perfection of the Son of Man. That's when husband and wife will be the self same person. There you go. Do you believe that? That's what he's doing. Not to just read it, but to something in our souls that says amen to the word of God. He's meeting me. Hi, God bless you. Nice to have you. Do you live around here? Oh, nice to have you. God bless you. Okay, so I listened to a lot of sermons on YouTube. Yeah, there's a lot of sermons, a lot of even all of the prophets' messages are there. And I ran across this just by haphazard, it's got direction. It's called Riding High Ministries, and I strongly recommend it for all you parents. Write it down. Look it up. Okay, because I think it will be, he just does helpful pastoral things to help all of us. And it's a cowboy, so it's very easily relatable. But I saw the 7-minute clips where he's talking about identity, but he's doing it from a totally different angle of anything I could. So that's what we're starting out with. Could you turn the lights down low so we can... Okay, Philip, bless his heart and his wonderful patience with this old duffer. Okay. What's that? Oh, it'll come. We have confidence in that.
Freedom is so often misunderstood.
I had a chance to meet Todd last night. The horse is older than this kid is. Look at this spur ride. I mean, that's as good a spur ride as you're going to see.
I think when people look at a wild horse, they'll think that that's what it looks like to be free. They're able to run wherever they want and roam the countryside. The problem is they're driven by something internal. It's their instincts. And that instinct just says, stay alive. The trap of living a life of instincts, or in other words, for us as humans, we're just doing what we want, is that we've made ourselves a prisoner to whatever we perceive to be true. Our reality is being formed by the voices around us, and even the way we see ourselves has made us a prisoner. If the way I see myself is through the eyes of the people around me, through my experiences or my successes, then I'm always going to be held bondage to those same expectations. This is where my journey begins. can I see myself clearly. I grew up in a really small community. I had very little connection with people. I didn't have friends. The only safety that I found was in connection with animals. To me, submission was a really scary thing because it looked like someone was going to hurt me. I've heard it said that you become whatever you believe the most important person in your life believes about you. And the problem is that the most important people in my life when I was very young, I didn't think that they thought very highly of me. So I didn't think very highly of me. I became angry, and my anger turned to fighting and violence. And ultimately, I learned to channel it into sport. I found that the better I did in sports, the more people liked me. And it was intoxicating. Everybody wants to be loved. The more that I won, the more I felt like people loved me, the more value there was in me. But the reality is that the more I got the praise from people, the more distorted my view of myself became. Am I what everybody else says that I am, or is there something different? Because if I've got to live this way, then I'm going to have to prove myself over and over again. That distorted image started way back when I first felt rejection. But I think every one of us come to a place where we realize that we don't want to spend our whole life allowing other people to define us. There's not any hope, or there's no future in that. This journey. It was as though I was fighting through a storm, trying to get to the next mountaintop, thinking that somehow the view would be better from up there. And the harder I would try, the more I found myself slipping right back into that place of performance. And now I'm not trying to please people, I'm trying to please God, but it's still just the pressure of performance. I didn't really know what it was like to be just loved right where I was at. This day that I found myself working with this horse in this round pen, and it seemed like every other day where I've done this hundreds of times, but this horse in particular, he wouldn't stop running. He was hitting his legs off the panels, and he was switching directions, and he was trying to get out of the pen. And I started speaking out loud to the horse, which I had never done before, and I was asking questions like, why are you running from me? Why are you so afraid? Why won't you trust me? If you would only trust me, I would show you so many things about yourself. Would you please just stop? Just look at me for a minute. And as I spoke those words, I realized that I had just got caught up in this encounter with God where this wasn't my words, this was God speaking to me. And I don't even remember leaving the round pen that day. It was as though God had just spoke these words over me as his son and was waiting for me to stop running. And helped me realize that as I could see something so beautiful and so powerful and so much potential in this horse, that he could see the same in me that I had never seen myself before. Because my view of myself was so distorted, I felt as though God himself was as a father speaking over me, saying that I want to show you who you are. I want to help you see yourself clearly. When I actually got face to face with God, and felt as though I could see what it is that he's seeing. There was a peace that fell over me that's, it's undeniable and it's unexplainable. But when you watch it happen and you can see it in this horse, everything about him changes. And when I allowed God to be the one that was speaking my identity into me, showing me who I am, teaching me how to love what he loves, that I started to see myself and the whole world around me differently. I could see clearly. I wasn't afraid. People are exhausted from all the years of striving for acceptance or success. And that's why Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. I think every man wants this journey. I believe the most powerful thing we possess is the ability to see what God himself sees. And when we see that, we become the life-giving force that the world's waiting to see.
Isn't that good? Yeah. So much there for us today. I love what he says in the ending. When we become what God wants us and see what he wants us to see in ourselves, we become that life-giving force that the world is waiting. Stop and think about it. If our view of us is formed by opinions of those around us, sometimes that's we don't perceive that as good. That's how we see, that's how we perceive ourselves and our value to give anything out from us, right? So write that down, and I think it has a lot of good things there for pastoral to help. It speaks to Zoe loves horses, and I think, and Natalie, aren't you a horse girl too? Animal person, so you can relate to some of these things. Yeah. All right. Let's see what he says about us. Okay, Philip, should we change? There we go. So, back to John 17, because the Lord keeps putting me back there. And so my goal today is the words that Jesus spake and prayed 2,000 years ago is alive, coming to us. And the Holy Spirit now taking those very words and bringing them alive in us. And the more I look at this chapter, the more I see in the message of the hour that we're believing, there's so much there that pertains exactly to what the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to see today. So, better get my clicker out, huh? All right. Thank you, Philip. Well, let's use this for a text. Would you stand with me, please? John 17. This is all in that chapter. We, so many refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, and in the truth, this is his last prayer. Now, we know that this is after the Last Supper in the upper room, okay? And I think this is John 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 all take place there. And I think this is the most intimate time he had with his disciples. And I always, again, so many things on my heart, but if you're on your deathbed and you know you'll be around those loved ones no more, you want to get everything out that is that will help them when you're gone, what you want them to remember. So this is all in this chapter here. So John 20, 17, 20 to 23, neither pray I for these alone. Now, I want you to notice, he doesn't say just read the Bible. He says, watch, there's channels. Okay? So it's not like those, I'm not going to pray for just everybody that is there. He knew there was going to be a written word. But channels of men. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, what's his goal there? From believing the word, that they might be one, as Father, you are in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, okay, that the world may believe. So that oneness is going to be something seen, noticed. Okay, it's not going to be private. It's going to be visible. Okay, so there's two things in number 20, verse 22, and this is the mystery, the glory you which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are, I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now, here's identification. If we could just believe these things, and this is what Jesus' prayer is going to be answered, even in me. Okay, and the world may know that thou hast sent me again. He says that twice. Oh, look at this. And hast loved them. So there's your identification, because they think some, I'll be very honest with you, a lot of times in our human condition, when we look at our view of ourselves through our own minds and we see our mistakes, we don't feel very lovable and we don't feel worthy of his love. Is that true? Okay, but he says, I want them to know that he loves you just the same as me. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you. You may be seated. So identification. And bringing it to this time, what God is doing now. Okay. So Jesus speaks of two things here. Okay. Faith in the revealed word. And I'm putting that revealed word there because if God speaks and a person hears and that word becomes so real in him, he has to pass it on. That's more than doing, oh, let's do a Bible study and memorize verses. There's a whole different thing going on here, right? Okay? So there's something reality where somebody... Okay, look at down through the church ages, hundreds of years before it was ever even put in print. Hundreds of years before the word was put in print. Okay, number one, faith in the revealed word. God spoke it. They received it. They knew it was from him. They knew it was sent out from him through human vessels, passed down from faithful man to faithful man, and embraced in faithful hearts. So that's verse 20. Then he prays that he gives us the same glory he was given. Okay, so what is the result?
¿Cuál es el resultado?
Those two things.
Esas dos cosas.
A received word and that mystery that he's going to give us what he was given.
And
we've been spending some time, but we got more time to spend there. Let's unfold, but not today. So the blessed result of this is oneness with him. That's his prayer, and we know that that prayer will be answered. It has to be answered.
Okay.
Now, what is this all about? Now, this is from, I got a whole passage here, from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Okay. And he's talking about oneness here. Okay. Now, look at how he starts out. This is God's great mystery of love expressed. So this oneness, this believing the word taking its place in a man, and Lester, think of that. That word is so important that what he receives, he cannot hold. Right? Now, how did this, you know, this guy's name, what was his name? Riding High Ministries, Pierce? Todd Pierce, yes.
Todd Pierce.
How did he end? When we receive God's identification, when we become what he designed us to become, he says there's a whole world waiting to be given out, okay? So, it's the love of God.
Es el amor de Dios.
The love of God is not only to be received, it's to be received and given
el amor
and
de Dios
spread.
Para ser recibido por esta
okay?
Dado,
and
expandido.
Like we always say, we're here to help whoever we can help.
Estamos aquí para ayudar a quien
however we can help, whoever we can help,
a quien podemos
whenever
ayudar,
we can help them.
Cuando quiera que podamos.
So this, here we are, this oneness. It's not something to learn, not something to go to church and go home and totally disregard, okay? It's, we really believe what this is going on. We believe this is his love expressed. And you think of God Almighty, you think of the eternal, you think of the God that covers all space and time. And think of him coming down to you, David, and said, David, I want to be one with you. Now, if you take that personally like that, it becomes a whole new thing, doesn't it? It just becomes, it takes it from a word to something that is happening inside of you, something that you receive inside of you, and something you receive inside of you, and something that is... That's powerful. You, Almighty God, want to be one with me, little old me, little old nothing me, yeah. Little me full of mistakes, me full of problems. How can this even be? And then all of a sudden, something happens with those words. It becomes, a memorized Bible verse. To a living verse, a living word, a transforming power word that happens something inside of me. And that's what the whole Word of God has working in this hour to become. Okay? So this is God's great mystery of love expressed that God and man became one in the Lord Jesus. Okay? Now look at the next three words. The whole thing. The whole gospel, the whole message, the whole aim of the message of this hour is God and man one. Okay, now that's a mouthful, right? Okay, so I go to John 17, and then I go to this hour, and I said, this is the prophet is saying, hey, this is the whole thing. This is what God's all about. This is all that he's trying to do. This is, am I receiving it? Okay? You can't really totally receive that until you realize personally That's his love expressed to you. Hi, Sister Virginia. Nice to she did, don't get here. Dave, is that making sense? Daniel. Yeah. All right. Okay. The whole thing is God and man one. God and man one there. God and man is one here. What is it? Okay. Being filled with his spirit. The Lord Jesus, him having the preeminences. What does that mean? That means I heard something, received something that took place inside of me that gave him his place inside of me. Do you know that if you don't do that, that won't happen? We will continue on like we've always had for years. Something's happening. Something has to happen. Something is happening in our hearts. Say, this has to become a reality, that the power of those words and the love of God expressed is working something inside of me. Okay? Him having the preeminences. That we take it as a thought. We take it as sort of a doctrinal issue. It can't stay there. It has to come to a place where the weight of his words, okay, the power of his words, the love of his words means so much to me personally in my heart that they anchor there. Lord, can it be? Is this possible? God of the universe? Huh? God of all time and space? And you're looking down and here's this little old, totally insignificant me. And you're telling me you want to become one with me. That's love language, isn't it? And when you receive it as love language, something will happen and take an anchor inside of my heart. Right? Okay. Otherwise, it just becomes a mindless Bible study. Okay, let's go memorize a verse. Well, we don't care if that verse means anything. I memorized it. Okay, what good does it do to memorize something that has no effect in you? You're with me? It's got to be a reality. Otherwise, let's go eat and drink and be merry. There's got to be something real. Okay, so here we go again. What is it? Being filled with his spirit. Him having the preeminences. There we go. Really? This is what God? This is what he wants. No. Come on. You take that personally, Janelle. God wants to achieve this in me. Marianne? God wants to achieve this oneness in me. Okay, if you don't take it personally, it won't happen. So this is the time when we go through the Bible verses and you have to take them as though this love letter is written from God's heart to yours. Okay? This is God's achievement. That's God's purpose to do that. Oh, okay. God's writing me a love letter, Ray, says, I want to be one with you. That's his purpose. So everything that we're doing, everything we've got down through seven church ages, here we are, and we have the fulfillment of scriptures for this day, and this whole thing is about you, Laura, and God. That he wants you that much to be one that much with him. Now it takes on a whole new thing, doesn't it? We have to put it in a place where these words are not just, oh, I read that in Sunday school. I heard that in church. It has to move on from you hearing something in church to you hearing the voice of God speak that word to you. Then it anchors, and then it will take place. Too much churchianity, isn't there? Too much going to church and fulfilling things. It's a connection with God Himself. That was His purpose, His achievement. Then He might be in Christ, Christ in us, all of us together, one. The Holy Spirit, same thing, it's revealed to Christ, reveals it here. And then He goes on the supernatural creative power. Now, don't you let this slip. Because that creative power is already, as we know, if you walk into a room at work and you walk into an office and they keep on with their dirty jokes and cussing and swearing, after you walk in, you better go home and get on your knees and say, something's wrong. Because Christ in me ought to make a difference. Go back and listen to Todd Pierce. My identification from him in me makes a difference in the world. Okay, so there ought to be a difference in language change. There ought to be a difference in jokes told. There ought to be, oh, you know what? John's here, Pete's here. Oh, you know what? We better clean up our act. And they don't even have a clue what's going on. Okay? But if that's not going on, I'm not being what He asked me to be. So this creative power in little bits and pieces. Okay, how many of us already in things? Okay? When we've seen storms, okay, and tornadoes, and we've seen things come, and all of a sudden we get on our knees, and we're praying, and I said, Lord, watch over your children, right? Watch over them. Yeah. Protect them. Protect our home, their homes. Because we know the devil is the prince of the power of the air. What power does he have over you? None. Correct? So how many times have you spoken and prayed and watched God move that? Yeah. We've seen that. All of us have seen that. Yeah, we could go into personal testimonies just on that. God hears our prayers. Because you're something special? Not at all. It's simply because you're a believer. Lord, I believe your word. So it's you, you're God, and you're inside of me. Okay. Yeah. I'll never forget. Certain storm came and I prayed. And I said, oh Lord, my neighbors, don't this, because trees were broken all over the place. And a tree fell in my neighbor's front yard and I went over there. John, Burkholder, across the street. I said, oh, John, that tree, not even a shingle was scratched. Not one pane was broken, not scratched on the side. Gently just laid it right on top of the house. House was perfect. Now, Why would we do something like that?
¿Por qué haría algo así?
To be glorified? No.
Para ser glorificado?
To prove our God lives.
No, para probar que nuestro Dios
and
Dios
he's alive.
Y él está vivo.
And his word is true.
Y su palabra es verdad.
And we believe it.
Y la creemos.
And his word is alive.
Y su palabra está viva.
Okay? It's
está
not
bien.
Just there to
y
memorize something, but it's there to be working in us and through us. There you go. God and man one. The whole thing. Did you hear what he said? The whole thing. So John 17. Being answered in this day and magnified in this day. That oneness with him. God and man one. Is what the message is all about. What the church ages are all about. What the Bible is all about. To bring us to that place. Don't you love it? Okay. Now, he says the same God. Here, through Moses. What did Moses say? Let there come frogs. And the same one could stand up and said, let water be turned to wine. Amen. Okay. God in man. Okay, Marianne, plan on it. One of these days, Marianne's going to speak. Linnell's going to speak, right? Right, you're going to speak sometime. When the need arises and the Spirit comes down, you will speak and nothing will hinder your words. Remember that, Lenore? Perfect faith. He says, well, day is coming when God will back up your words. Just like he did the prophets. Okay? David, is that going to come? See, we're in this reality of the word becoming alive in us. Okay, he just don't change. It's God in a man. That's his manifestation. That's what he's revealing. That's what he's trying to do. Okay? God's own word revealing it. And he shows that man cannot create. God is the creator. And that ain't man no more. Is God the creator in man, in his church? Okay. There you are. The creator's in you to create. Ron, God is in you to create. Create an atmosphere. Okay. Create a preeminence. Create a revelation inside of you, Daniel, that you're the word. Okay. When you speak the word, it's him. It's the same as him speaking the word because it's his word. There you go. It's his, that's what he's revealing. That's what he's trying to do. God's own word revealing it. Shows that man cannot create. It ain't man no more. It's God, the creator in man, which is his church. God, I'm going home to heaven. And here it is again. Okay. When Jesus is preaching this and praying this, and this is being fulfilled 2,000 years later in you, you have to take a love letter from God with the reality. You've gone beyond what other people think about you.
Okay.
People look at mistakes and remember them. Micah chapter 7, God throws your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. Going home to heaven. Live with him. Read that out loud with me. God expresses eternal love to the church. It's his love. So this isn't, please don't take it as a Sunday school lesson, Bible study, church, take it, pack that, take it till it becomes a reality inside of you. Listen, listen close now. I want you not to fail to get this. Now he's talking about oneness. God and man one. How important it is to the Spirit of God in this day.
Okay?
Read these out loud with me. No other church.
No otra iglesia.
No other sign.
No otra señal.
No other fellowship.
No otro compañerismo.
No other government.
No otro gobierno.
No other testimony.
No otro testimonio.
No other creed.
No otro credo.
No denomination is accepted outside of this. So John 17, oneness. One with him. How important is? It's everything. It's what he's trying to do. It's God in his love saying, Afshin, I love you so much, I want to be one with you. That's love. Me? I'm not worth it. You're seeing how you see yourself, not how what he says. Right? Okay, so when those thoughts come in you, that's the devil trying to prevent God's word from happening inside of you.
Okay?
If you make, hey, come on. We reap what we sow, we know that. If I make a mistake, I'll pay for it. But he won't remove his love from me. And it won't change his purpose. And what's his purpose? Oneness. There you go. So nothing. This is it. Okay, so John 17. There we go. Ah, look at this. Same thing. How important is John 17? How important is that oneness? God accepts nothing else but that. Okay, how can we make less of this than what he makes of it? Right? If we make less of it, then we're denying the scripture and denying the love of God. God accepts nothing else but that. Christ in you. Colossians chapter 3, the hope of glory. The only thing that God recognizes. And here he says it again. He's repeating it. No fellowship, no church, no creed, no denomination, no nothing. Everything else is dead. Oh, look what he says about it. It's fragments that has to be cut off, pruned off, away from the thing, that Christ might live with preeminence is inside of me. That's what he wants. That's his love language. That's his love work. Okay? Okay. Think. I told you lots of things here, but I wanted to get through this whole passage. By the living presence, there you go. What did Jesus say in John 20? The word, okay, I pray not for these alone, but for the word that men will speak, that men will believe, that men will love, that men will embrace. It will burn in their hearts. I can't hold this word. I can't keep this word. I have to give this word. And it's given again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The word, okay, that you have heard, commit to faithful men who will in turn teach others. Okay? There you go. John 17:20. By the living presence of the living Christ, by the living word, oh, living Christ, living presence, living word, watch, by his own personal vindication proves his truth. There it is. Okay. Lenore, what's he telling us right there? He said, is this happening in you? This living word of the living God in a living believer, and that's happening. There's my church. That's me. A church is Him happening in the hearts of His people. It's
gente.
Not, I went and repeated a liturgy. Right? Daniel, does that right set? It's not, I learned a Bible study. No, it's the living God in His living word, coming in a living heart and making it come alive. There it is. And it happens inside of each one of us. And there's nothing else accepted. That's it. That's the whole thing. So how important is this prayer of John 17 that Jesus prayed? Huh? There you go. Not members. I joined something. No, that's not it. He never done it in the days of Moses. He never done it in the days of anybody else. Join a church. No, that's not it. Okay, at the end of the world, when it comes to a place where it was destruction, Luke 17, in the days of Lot, it wasn't membership. Okay. We have to start believing what He says about us. I love you so much. I died. I live. I sent my spirit. Marianne, I want to become one with you.
There you go.
And something in your heart receiving that will burn it and make it live. And that living word inside of us, Janelle, is a vindication. You're it. You're part of the church. It was personal vindication. There it is. God in you. John, is that making sense? Helping? Do you see it? It's all through the scripture, isn't it? God in flesh. Personal vindication. My word is alive in my child. My child can't hold it. Hey, listen, come on, you guys, be honest with me. Okay, how many of you grew up memorizing Bible verses? In school and everything else, right? Okay, but that Bible verse that you want, it's good to memorize, I'm not against that. But that Bible verse you memorize has to come alive somehow by the Spirit of God that comes inside of me, that's doing something so powerful in me. It's changing me. It's changing my desires. It's changing how I see life. It's how changing how I see myself. It changes how I see others, because it makes me want to give out to them. It makes me want to love them. It makes me want to love others. It wants to make me sacrifice myself and my own comfort to help others. And there's the Word of God living, not just learning, living. Okay, He never done it. Okay, again. All right. Okay. Where did we go? Is that me or is that you? Okay. There we go. Okay, next one. Remember. Okay, where was I? Yeah, it was, we'll finish. At the personal vindication, God in flesh. Now you say, God in my flesh. God in my flesh. God in my flesh, making His word come alive inside of me. All right. You with me? Okay. John 17, isn't it amazing? Huh? Really, think about this. Think of what Jesus prayed, a simple prayer, and here we are. And here we are, God's doing it in us. And here's the most important thing. And look at how things have been substituted for this thing. Let's have a church program. Let's build a bigger church. Okay? You're what He's building. He's building you. He doesn't care about buildings. He cares about you. He cares about people. Oh, let's make the church bigger. Oh, let's build an organ.
Vamos a edificar un
órgano. Look at how many things can be substituted for the thing that he wants. And he wants nothing more than his word alive by his Holy Spirit living in you, living out from you. A personal vindication, God in flesh. There you go. Personal vindication. Remember, think of it. People born of his spirit, that's you. Okay. Now I want you to read that. And I want you to say, me born of his spirit. Okay, Nate? Me born of his spirit. Nestor, in a day like this, a great denominational age that we live in. And here it is. Here's John 17:20. I pray not for them, but those who will believe it on their word. How many generations since he spoke that in John 17:20? Josh, you got a mathematical head? 40 generations. Okay. 40 times 1, carry the 2. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Think of it. People born of a spirit. The living God. Read that out loud with me. It's too precious. The living God takes his living word and vindicates personally this life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed. There you go. Right? Let me ask you now, Pam, isn't that something to live for? Huh? Laura, isn't that something to live for? This isn't just, oh, I went to church and I, what was church about? Oh, I don't know. I don't even remember. I slept halfway through it. Yeah, but I guess the choir sang a nice anthem today. And yeah, well, I did my service. Okay, let's go to the ball game. What a different life. This is the life worth sacrificing everything else to live. This is the life worth living for. This is the thing that God wants, is the reality of himself in a word full of life. His life. Not just a word full of knowledge. Okay? Oh, look how many verses I memorized this week. No, a word full of his life. I hear God. John, I love you so much, I want to be one with you.
Huh?
That's worth living for, isn't it? Personally, this life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed. There you go. Here we go. This is the last one from this section. Remember, think of it, that people born of his spirit, in a day like this, the great denomination, age, the living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally, the life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed, the sower, the word is the seed that a sower went out to sow. The life of is Christ, is the word. Okay. Anna, personally in you. There it is. Vindicating something that you cannot do. No way you can do this yourself, Zoe. We can't, but he can't. Okay? Vindicating something you cannot do, proving himself. This isn't you. You can't do it. Don't even try. But believe in me, because I can. I heard Eric Ludi one time say, I love this. God is very good at being God. Isn't that good? Yeah. God is very good at being God. Yeah. And the life is Christ in the word personally in you. Vindicating something that you cannot do, proving himself that it's not you, it's him. And you become one. What kind of one? A love slave to him. What is this all about? Emma, he's saying, do you know how much I love you, honey? Do you know what I've went through so I could become one with you? Yeah. And here he's calling you out of the world and saying, I want you. Think of that, to become one with you. Isn't that wonderful? John 17, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Okay. There it is. I think, okay. There it is. Read this out loud with me. The Alpha prayer and the Omega answer to that prayer, Alpha and Omega. As we read above, the Omega answer to that prayer is in this day. The end time scriptures that must be and are fulfilled, the spoken word, the creative word, the third pole, the seventh seal, all tied together right here. John 17 definitely speaks of this hour and is written for this hour. It is written for you. There you go. John 17. Lilia, just for you. Yeah. Levi, just for you, bud. Yeah. It's God calling you and saying, you're mine, I want to be one with you. All right, and it's 12 o'clock and I got too much to go, so we're quitting. You musicians, come on up. We always can continue because that's what we always do anyway, right? Okay, Janelle's going to come up. And she and Nate are going to help us because we're going to sing all that sitting at his feet because that's the most blessed. You know what? Listen, brothers and sisters. We have to get past. I heard a good sermon. Right, Josh? I'm so sick of a good sermon. Let's get to a place where the Word of God is living and working and transforming, and we see it. The same God that He spoke the universe into existence, that same power, Marianne, is working in you, calling out in love. Lenore, I love you so much. I'm going to be one with you. And Janelle's going to help us because this is hard and it's tricky, but these guys have been working on it and they're so good. Don't you love them? Nate, okay, we're going to sit down and you guys are going to sing. This is where it happens, you guys, right here. That's why we're singing this now. We're going from churchianity to you and Jesus, me and Jesus. Love. Can we get the words up? Well, wait a minute. It'll come.
Emma. It's called sitting at his feet. Do you want, which one do you want first?
Start out with the chorus, then we'll go to the ones. Then we'll go.
Do number one first.
Speak, brings his
thy children shall be taught of the Lord. His kingdom is within you. God's word revealed is made flesh in you and me, sitting at his feet, sitting at his feet. This is eternal.
That's where a mechanical word becomes life. Becomes life.
Llega a ser vida.
Eternal life happens. Okay. There it is.
Ahí está.
That's where we go from churchianity.
Ahí es donde vamos de iglesianismo.
To the work of Him. Becoming one with us, right? Yeah. Oh, that can't happen. So you fall in love with Him and His Word, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Juan, would you close?
Precious times we are living in. What a great day is coming. I've done to love you, Father. You did it, everything, Father. Our way, we were numb to it. We don't have knowledge of that. Looking out for us, and when we were there, without knowing, not even a word, Father. But you knew that seed was inside of us. It's like you went to that woman in the well, Father. Little poor me. I was making you so great, Father. Take care of these little ones. They are huge on your side, Father. You are perfect in your sight. Thank you for that love. Thank you for that sight that you have over us, Father. Making us realize that we where truly we come from. And that's you, Father. Thank you. Blessed be your name forever and ever, Father. And we pray, Lord, in the name that is above all name. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. God bless you all.